Good morning to all of you. Beautiful morning. I want to greet you with Paul's words from Romans chapter 1. here he says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Christ, of Jesus Christ. And those that are here today, which is New Bothwell, he calls it Rome for him, his part, but for us it's New Bothwell, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to welcome you in God's house of prayer, and all those that are tuning in here today, I welcome you as we're going to talk about God's word again, as it is our life. God is our life. He is life and he is light. And so as we see again, we have the grace of God, and with that we want to just go, before we go to song, we want to have a prayer. So let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for supplying a house for us, as also a living house within us, Lord, that you are there. Then I pray for each and every one of you, everyone that has come here that is alive and are tuning in. Lord, if not, Lord, may they turn today to you. May they believe in you. And believe in the what you have done, Jesus, died on the cross, that they are born again. And so, Lord, we pray also for the people surrounding us here, and also for the province, Lord. We pray for the government of this land, of the province, provincially, as also locally. And, Lord, we pray also for the lost people of the world today. Lord, may you grant them strength, Lord, as we see that the time is nearing where you're going to be returning. And so, Lord, we pray that you would grant strength to us here today, that we can worship you, praise you in song, Lord, as we want to glorify you and praise you today. So again, Father, I thank you for this day as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
In the blue hymnal, number 265, Draw Me Nearer. I invite you to stand.
Arms.
Number 505, Footprints of Jesus.
Gentle soul.
Thank you for those songs. When I was going over those songs we're singing, I don't know how much of you look at the words, and what a message in there. What a message in there. Like drawing near to God, you know, kneel in prayer. Those are, you know, that it's so very, very important that we, when we sing, that we take it all into heart. You know, when we're singing this song, Footprints, and that those footprints, they glow when we, you know, we walk. And yet, when you look at it, the second verse, it talks about, though they lead us over cold, dark mountains, they're not actually a very easy walk. So when we look at that whole thing, you know, it's not a easy walk in the Lord. Like it's easy because it glows our hearts when it's filled with the Spirit of God. But then He can use us as channels, as it talks about the last, you know, song there. So I thought it was, you know, so good that we have those songs. But those songs mean nothing to us if we don't actually take them to heart. We need to take them to heart. That's very important to us that we do that. The opening reading there, just to go back to that a little bit, it says, verse 4 in Romans 1 there, it says, and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. You know, holiness. As further he says, and by whom we have received grace and apostleship. We have. And so it is, and the important part of it is, it's not just saying, well, I'm a Christian. And I sit and I warm the pews. That's not Christian. If we have the Jesus Christ is born within us, there's far more than that. I was thinking when we were singing, it's like, wow, you are way spread apart. Are you scared of each other or what? I don't understand. Like a lot of times we sit so far back, and it's like, would it not sing a whole lot better when we would sit all close together? I think. But somehow we are all scared. We're all sitting way back. You know, it's like somehow I don't get, you know. I used to when I was young, and I could see some young people back there, and I understand that. But these aren't young people that are sitting back there, a lot of them. We could sit way closer front here. Anyway, just some thoughts, food for thought. From now on, just, you know, take closer. Come closer. First of all, most of us don't bite except for food. So we want to take in the Word of God. And if we want to take in the Word of God, we got to sit on the edge of our seat. The edge of our seat. We want to take in the love of God, that it will, you know, give us strength, the power. You know, when we talk about the love of God, and that doesn't mean that somebody else will love God. That means that you will love God. That you will radiate that love to someone else. It's not somebody else might not. But if you do, if I do, that means one thing, that people want that. There's people that want that. And we need to do that. We need to do that. And so we want to go on with the articles today. And so what we want to do is start at 4. And want to go to 6. And so the first article, chapter, you know, article 4 talks about the Holy Trinity. You know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we believe and confess that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one almighty God, as he says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And when we go right at the beginning there, and it talks about saying, we believe. What do we? We believe and confess. So if this is the case, that we believe and confess that he is the three, the God, he's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, then we will also take that to heart. Further, he says, and these three are one, not only one in unity, but wholly one in action and in will, as well as in accomplishments, in like honor and glory. One, not with one without the other, equally eternal, not three persons or gods, but only one God. One God. And only one and none other. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. We read Isaiah 45 today. I am God, the only God, he says. Here also talking about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How unsearchable his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. Yet vast is this godly blessed mystery in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Much of which remains beyond our grasp. We can't grasp it. With our mind, we cannot grasp it. And God's ways beyond our understanding. Yet they are believable. When we look around in the world and how everything works, it's believable. It's believable. And in Colossians 1:27, Paul says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in, this is what it says, which is Christ in you. That's what he's talking about. Christ in you. The hope of glory, that this triune God is inseparable. Jesus himself teaches in John chapter 14:9. When Philip asked the Lord, show us the Father and it suffices us, Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you? So long time with you? And yet, has thou not known me, Philip? He's talking about a personal relationship. Personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He walked with them, so long time with them. And so for us, maybe some of are right at the beginning, but some are maybe long time walked with Christ already. Do you know him personally? As he asked Philip here, I walk with you. Don't you know me? And further he says, and he that has seen me has seen the Father. Believest thou not me that I am in the Father and the Father in me? In John 12:44 and 45, Jesus says, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. In John 10:30, our blessed Savior says, I and the Father are one. One. He does not say united, but one. And when the Apostle Paul wants to bless his faithful followers, he pronounces his blessings in the name of the triune God and says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen? That's what he says. As we go on to chapter or article 5, the birth of Jesus Christ. Again, look at the first line. When you read it, it says, we believe and confess. We believe and confess, as the whole scripture testifies that he, Jesus Christ, from eternity, was born of God and has always been with God. We confess that. We believe that. But when the time which God had set for the salvation of the world was fulfilled, he sent his son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, in the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. According to the holy prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. And when the angel speaks to Mary, she was surprised how this was to happen, for she knew not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, that's the same as the Holy Spirit coming within us, being born again. As he says in John chapter 1 verse 12, he says, we have the power to become the sons of God, those that believe in him. The Holy Spirit being born within. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35. This is why the Apostle Paul is filled with wonder when he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ became man, but made himself of no reputation. Of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Philippians 2, 7. We can see that how he did is John 13, when he washed his disciples' feet. He washed the disciples' feet. He became a servant. Made of no reputation. And that's how he wants to see us. If we make no reputation of our own selves, as he did for him, and said, you know, wash others' feet. Humble. God has also exalted him and has given him a name, which is above every name. Philippians 2, 9. Hebrews 4 says he is sinless and spotless. He was not created like Adam. He was not created like Adam, but is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15. He proceeded from the Father and came into the world. You know, God sending his Son, he himself coming into the world and being part of man, walking amongst them. And he says, and then he departed this world and proceeded to the Father, John 6. And all this he did for our sake, because otherwise, we would not remain forever in God's, or we would remain forever in God's anger and disgrace into which all with Adam have fallen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we believe and confess the birth of Christ as man, his as man and his great humiliation. But at the same time, he didn't not relinquish his heavenly majesty and individuality. For in him abides the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2, and remains true God and man in person, and has saved us all through his suffering and death, and restored what we lost through Adam. For God created man to everlasting life in righteousness and holiness. That's how he created man. He wanted them always to be with him. But since Adam sinned, Jesus Christ would be born, and he would, again, set back all righteousness so that we could actually have life and holiness. But through sin, death has conquered all men because all have sinned. Romans 5, verse 12. But God's everlasting love had pity for all and promised them that the seed of woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. Yes, God's holy love had compassion. That's the love and compassion we need to have as we have God within us for others. As I said before, not that they may not do that, but that we will have that. We will show that. Man, being God's glorious image, should not be lost. This is why the Lord Jesus came to earth and became man, so he could help man again and make him blessed. For Christ's whole life and conduct on earth was one of pure love, wherewith the love he loved us all. For he loved us all. Because he was born on earth as a child and gave himself as an atonement sacrifice for all the sins of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Our children, in their innocence, are blessed children of God. He also was buried by our sins and weaknesses through his holy life. But of him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and redemption and sanctification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1:30, he was sacrificed for our sins. He died and was buried and was raised again for our justification. Romans 4:25. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That is, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. In conclusion to this article, we say, thanks be to our Lord Jesus for his suffering and death when he died and rose again for our sake. For he has thus purchased us with his precious blood so that we can inherit his heavenly kingdom. To him and his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit be eternal thanks for his great love. Amen. Then we turn over to Article 6. All believers are the church of God. All the believers that are in Christ are the church of God. So now we're talking about the church of God. Again, we confess, too, that God has had from the beginning, always, and will have a visible church or a people who he loves. As in the Old Testament, he has the Israelites. He had a people. In the New Testament, there's the Christians, the born again. But he loves all. But he has those that are his. And he loves them. This church, he began with Adam and Eve in paradise. Afterwards, he kept as his church the pious patriarchs and ancestors with their houses and families. With Noah, he renewed his promise. And with Abraham, he made a covenant. Genesis 17:4. He and his seed should become the chosen people and his possession. This was the church of the Old Testament, the seed of Abraham, the generation of Isaac, and the offsprings of Jacob, or the Jews under the law. When, however, in the fullness of time, our Jesus, our Lord Jesus, came with his gospel of mercy and grace. And mercy and grace. Just reading the Old Testament in Leviticus, they had to put blood on the mercy seat. And that's what Jesus did. The lamb that died, the blood that was put on the mercy seat, that he had mercy for us and grace. He sent his apostles into the whole world by preaching of the gospel, and through it, they were to gather a church of all people and tongues who would become converted and believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, these together were to have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Ephesians 4:5. Those who are united in one faith are baptized into one body through Christ with God in heaven, and who have Christ dwelling in their hearts. Ephesians 3:17. In this way, the fellowship of the church was one body, who together, without respect of person, are one body and one soul through Jesus Christ, who support and keep each other in love and in prayer before God, that in the church, which according to Acts chapter 2, God has chosen for himself one of every tongue and nation, not just us as Mennonites or German people, but every nation. Many people think that's just the white people. But that's not true. Of every nation, Chinese, Russian, Iranian, every nation. A people that fear God and live righteously. So it gives us a good idea that we fearing God is to meaning I have the utmost respect that is so high that I respect him more than anything or anybody. I fear him. I will not go away from him. That's what he's saying. Now live righteously. That is why the Apostle Paul says the Lord has gathered a church for himself by his own blood and has cleansed it with the washing of water by the word. That this church reflects one that is glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any other such thing. but that it should be holy and without blemish, as stated in Ephesians chapter 5, 26 and 27, a very high calling. You have a very high calling. And we also have to respect that as a high calling. This church will then be called the house and temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It is built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, of which Christ is the cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, 20. The church is also recognized by its faith in the scripture, which is a faith working in love. Galatians 6, verse 5 or 6. And it is founded on the pure teachings of the scripture and on the godly and just conduct the members have with each other, and in the keeping of the commandments of God as has been taught by Jesus, the head of the church. In conclusion, by faith, we believe that the Lord Jesus, according to his promise, will be and remain with the church and all believing Christians to the end of the world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, that no power or force of Satan, neither the gates of hell, shall prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18, may we come to the true knowledge of and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then the real fellowship with God. This we must truly and sincerely pray for all of us unworthy ones from the depth of our heart. Amen. So here we can see, if this is what's required of us, what are we falling short of? What do we need to do? Do we have some work to do? And I know for myself I do. But I don't want you just looking at me. I want also each one check where we at. So often I can stand up here and I can speak to the people. And a lot of times it goes over. When I talk about the healing of Jesus Christ in the heart and the sin that can be forgiven, and yet next thing you know, people are, they're troubled with it. What, didn't we hear it? Or didn't we believe it? Didn't we confess Jesus Christ? I think we have more to do than just sit in the pews. We do. We have a high calling. And I want to finish off with a couple of verses just in Philippians to come to my mind. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. The high calling of God. Not as though I had already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind me. The world is behind me. Christ is before me. We talked yesterday about how when Peter stepped out of the ship, as soon as he took his eyes off, looked beside, that's when he sunk. He already stepped out there when the boisterous, you know, the waves were all there. He stepped out, it was all good, because he's looking at Jesus. Soon as he went, and then he went down. What happens to us? Where are our eyes? Where are our focus? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? We need to look forward, not behind us. We are a special people that God has chosen, and we need to move forward. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your loving kindness that you have shown us. And I pray that each and every one are here today that will, they will have heard you, not me. So often we hear the speaking, but Lord, I pray that they hear you. Each and every one that is tuning in here, that you will be so special to their life that they will give everything over. As Matthew 13 talks about, you know, when they had found that precious pearl, they sold everything. That we sell everything, that we let go everything and take this precious pearl and live it. And so, Lord, I pray for power again, as we know that all power is given unto you in heaven and earth, Jesus, you said. And so we can have that as the Holy Spirit is present with us. Lord, may each and every one take that with them. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We not only pray here, we can pray anywhere, morning or evening, if need be, day and night. Let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus.